Beans. Broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level at Intergalactic Prairie Studios. We alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves. Put on your 3D glasses now. We warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working, Lisa DeLascio?
Yes, it's working. I can feel it.
All right. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. All right.
Yes.
Great to be with you, Lisa.
I'm Jim Babb.
All right, we've got some real interesting stuff on the radar tonight. So I think we got to get right into this story. This is actually looks like it's from about a week ago, but this is police officer gets egged during routine traffic stop. Okay, and this is from Wisconsin. Now you showed me this story, Lisa, right? So can you kind of give us a what the heck's going on here?
Well, cop pulls over this young couple because I don't know what he pulled them over for, but he asked the girl.
It's routine. It's just, remember, it's routine. We don't need to say what it was for. It's just, it's a routine we do. We just shake down motorists, so don't even ask us. It's just routine. It's like a dance routine, you know, like we don't, it's just reflexive motions pre-rehearsed.
Yeah. It's probably one of those Orwellian license plate scanners, you know, something.
Who knows what it was, but anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt you. So
no, it's okay. They got pulled over and the cop thought he smelled pot, of course. How convenient. And he had them stand outside in front of his car.
He triggered himself.
So he searched their car. Now, I don't know if he, you know, why they let him search the car. I don't know any of those details because they weren't provided in the story.
Right. It's all routine at this point.
It's all routine. But while they're standing out there talking to the cop, some guy comes by and starts egging the car, like throwing eggs at the cop. And the video
interesting,
is
right?
Awesome. Yeah, very interesting.
So what do you think now? And so then what happened?
Well, then, you know, it kind of interrupted the whole, you know, shakedown.
Right.
So the couple was like, you know,
the routine has been disrupted.
Yeah. The routine was disrupted. They're like, somebody's egging the car. So they all kind of go and they hide, you know, from the egger. And the guy who did the egging, you know, made some kind of statement about how he didn't like cops. And the cop told him to, like, go, you know, come to him or whatever, and he said no and like ran away. The video is great. They ended up catching the guy though, who was apparently
but the policeman took off after him. Is that what happened?
Chased him for 15 minutes.
Whoa, that's a long time for a cop to run. I mean, that's a lot.
I thought so too. And
that's a lot for maybe a lot for me to run, but I'm not, you know.
Yeah.
But okay, so now what's when now he runs off after the guy that threw the eggs. Now what's happening to the victims of the shakedown?
The victims are standing there kind of waiting to see what's going on, I guess.
They're waiting for the routine to finish. They're like
I don't know if they helped chase the guy too. I don't know, but they of course the cop ended up not. There was no marijuana in the car.
And says no marijuana was found.
Right. No marijuana found in the car. So they were cited for driving without insurance.
Well, it's just part of the routine, you know, like we're going to charge you with something. We'll keep looking. Okay. Yep. So it was sort of presented as sort of this like random, like just convergence of a shakedown and a guy with eggs that hates cops. Right. Is this, I think there could be more to this story. That's sort of the if you read between the lines, and let me just suggest a possible alternative narrative here, okay? Perhaps they were doing like a major drug deal, okay? They had like 25 pounds of marijuana or 100 pounds or, you know, quarter ton or whatever, okay? They're getting pulled over, okay? And it smelled like weed, and they have a friend, or anyway, they think fast. They text their buddy who's nearby. They say, grab some eggs, get over here, okay? Create this diversion, okay? create a diversion, take off running, giving those guys a chance to transfer any evidence that would be used against them to a, you know, to another vehicle, escaping. Basically, they escaped, and the guy that got caught is probably going to get some slap on the wrist of something that's very minor. So perhaps this was an extremely well-executed defense maneuver. What do you think? I don't know. Well, I think we've lost Lisa, so we don't get to hear from Lisa what her opinion is. But that's my theory. So if we do get Lisa back, she can comment on that. For now, you guys, looks like you're stuck with me, so which is a big disappointment. So, So anyway, that's a very interesting story. You be the judge. Was it just like some like crazy stoner with eggs, or calculated planning? So anyway, we've got some other interesting things in the news that'd be really great to talk with Lisa about if she survives her drone strike. But let's see what else we got. You know, I had a very interesting experience with Apple Computer. And, you know, Apple gets a lot of flack. They're, you know, a huge corporation. They do all kinds of various weird stuff. In the news, you know, recently, all the stuff about unlocking the phone. But, you know, I've been using Apples for decades. And I had to take one in for service. It's an older model, long out of warranty. And so I take it in for service to the Apple store. They, you know, they fix some stuff. And I get it back, and my SD card reader is missing. Okay. So the SD, so it's not in there. And it's like, so I, you know, I mentioned to them, they're like, oh, you know, I fully expect them to be like, well, we're not responsible for extra third party stuff and blah, 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 blah. Fully ready for that, you know. So instead, I get, they'd say, oh, wow, you know, we're really sorry about that. We couldn't find it. And, you know, and I'm just thinking like, okay, here it comes. And they say, well, what we did is we went into your, we looked on the labor charge is about $110. So we've just credited you for that $110. And I said, you know, this is like a $10 part. Really? They're like, yeah, you know, with the inconvenience and stuff. Anyway, I just thought that was pretty cool. You know, they have no reason to do that. All right. There's no reason that they had to go that far above and beyond. But anyway, you know, big corporation. I thought they deserved to be recognized for doing something right. Ed Snowden said to love the action, not the actor. So, you know, he was talking about their refusal to circumvent their own security procedures. But I think it also applies here. So it was a great action. Treating customers the way, you know, I think that I would treat customers, right? If you kind of, you know, do something inconvenient to your customers, you know, I think the appropriate thing to do is to, you know, for my customers, if I do something wrong, they're going to hear about it first from me, and I'm going to be the one explaining how I'm going to make it up to them before they have to ask for it. So, and that's kind of what Apple did here. So I think that's pretty cool. I don't know. So working on a interesting event in Philadelphia, we have a Libertarian Party presidential candidate debate. And this is going to be on March 19th in Philly. And for some reason, they were kind of crazy enough to let me help pick some of the panel of experts that's going to, I'm not going to say grill the candidates, but there will be some, there are some tough candidates, some tough questions for these candidates. It's going to be the kind of event where the hardcore libertarians are going to get a chance to shine and be noticed. And, well, if they happen to be some people that aren't quite sure on their libertarian principles, where they're going to have a little bit more difficult time. So, I don't know. Anyway, I see a message from Lisa. She has survived her drone strike, but the EMP is still dissipating. So she'll be back with us pretty soon. So that's good news. Anyway, so do you have questions for libertarian presidential candidates like John McAfee or Gary Johnson or Daryl Perry? And we have invited Vermin Supreme, but I have not heard back from him. Vermin Supreme, now, I don't want to seem biased, but I'm a Vermin fan. I have felt the verm. So is that a, that could be his new slogan. Feel the verm. Vermin Supreme. He brings a level of dignity to the campaign that I really like. You know, it's, I think there's just, he brings the right level of class. He brings the right level of seriousness that the election process deserves. And I'm glad to see that the Libertarian Party finally has a chance at a really great candidate like that. No offense to Daryl Perry. Daryl's a good guy, but hey, Vermin, if you're listening out there, we really want you down in Philly on March 19th. So, and if you have questions that you would like us to ask, hey, send me a message or drop in on the freedomfiends.com website, leave a comment, and you know, maybe we can get some of these questions for these guys. You might want to ask what outfits they want to ban, because certain candidates have proposed banning certain outfits, so, which seems kind of weird. You know, who knows what kind of questions we can come up with, but let's make it fun. Let's make it Freedom Fiend style questions. Put these guys sort of on the spot and give them a chance to have some fun. So that's going to be pretty good. And of course, you know, because it is Philly area libertarians, bunch of anarchists, libertarians of all, you know, of all kinds, really, statist libertarians, anarchist libertarians. So, you know, we all come together, love to have fun parties. So we're going to have a blast. And I am looking forward to hanging with those guys on March 19th. So and panel of experts. That's right. Celebrity panel of experts. It's going to be kind of like running the gauntlet, so we'll see how they do. But I'll mention that one celebrity panelist will be Larkin Rose, who will help us determine, maybe ask some philosophical questions of the candidates, help us try to get an idea of where they stand. That's going to be fun. And I'll tell you who some of the other celebrity panelists are as they come out, but they're going to be great. Plus, celebrity moderator that is so secret, they don't even know who they are yet. But anyway, when we come back with the break, we will have some more Freedom Fiends.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
The Freedom Fiends now have a free app for your Android phone, tablet, phablet, or other chromed robot turd, available now from the Google Play Store, Amazon, and freedomfiends.com. Lovingly handcrafted by head hamster Michael W. Dean, the artisanal Freedom Fiends radio app allows you to listen live, keep up with the podcast, chat directly with other fiends, get discounts on bigger buttons, brainwash yourself with a 24/7 random episode, and so much more. You know the Freedom Fiends is the best libertarian radio show in the world, but when the fiends aren't live, you can use the app to listen to LRN.FM from anywhere. The Freedom Fiends radio app is like having a virtual libertarian re-education camp in your pocket. It's your gateway to the exclusive, high-demand group that is the Freedom Fiends. Install the Freedom Fiends radio Android app today. It's free, and of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Tell two friends, review it on Google Play and Amazon, prepare for the inevitable death of terrestrial radio, and get ready for LibPair with the Freedom Fiends radio app for Android. Worms. Worms.
To say we're back, but it's just me. You can only get one Freedom Fiend. That is 1/4 of a squirm. It's a quarter squirm of fiends. Just me, Jim Babb. Lisa DeLascia was nearly taken out with a drone, and she's recovering from the EMP pulse. We'll see if she comes back. But anyway, blaming Comcast, you know, that's just how we roll here at the Freedom Fiend. So you guys are stuck with me, and you're just going to have to deal with it. So, did you know there's a Bernie Sanders-themed beer that's debuted in Vermont? this is kind of, it's really kind of sad, but you know, I was looking at this thing and I'm like, wow, it's got his, it's got a cartoon of his, of him on it drinking a beer, and it's from Zero Gravity Craft Brewery, and it's called the Bernie Weiss, a slightly sour and forward-thinking Berliner Weiss beer. Okay, slightly sour. Well, that's, yeah, you could say that about Bernie, right? You know, does it, with notes of old man tinkle, you know, like that's what I'm thinking this beer must be. It's a, it's only 3.2% alcohol, presumably to keep the workers productive in the factories. That's what I'm guessing. So, Bernie themed beer, why not? Right. You know, but you know, Bernie, I bet, would be really upset with this. Right. He, you know, because really, we have to, why do we have so many choices of beer when kids are starving? This is something that it's an interesting phenomenon. What's up, Vermont? Seriously, guys, you guys make some awesome beer up there. You really do. But you're all a bunch of commies. What's going on? Somebody fill me in with that. Second Vermont Revolution. Second Vermont Republic, possible secession group. What's up, guys? What's up? What are you waiting for? If, hey, maybe it'll be a Donald Trump presidency that'll finally get you guys working a little bit harder. You're right by the border with Canadians, so there's plenty of other commies nearby you can be friends with. And you know what? The Free State Project next door in New Hampshire, they're not going to hassle you. So they'll still come over and buy beer and stuff. So get it together, Vermont. Really, really, really hoping for you. I saw a pretty cool article from Forbes. And I, you know, Forbes, for somehow, like, Forbes is getting super hardcore. Like, they were writing great stuff about the Ross Ulbricht trial, and they've covered Bitcoin in depth. I'm like, you know, it's like, for mainstream media, these guys really come up with some pretty libertarian stuff. This article was called "Amnesty for Illegal Immigrants is Not Enough. They Deserve an Apology." And this really struck me as great because, you know, it's really true, but I didn't expect it to, you know, to see something this hardcore. And it just leads in, what has happened to America? When did the land of the free become, you can't land here? Did we fight a civil war to end slavery? And in order then to put a wall around the country and keep undesirables out, in quotes. Did we fight against Nazism in order to make our own class of undermension and to have petty tyrants demand, where are your papers? So, yeah, it's a great article. I'm going to put a link to this in the show notes because it really makes some great points. Number one, and I'm going to quote again, the country does not belong to the government. It does not belong to the majority. Land belongs to individual private owners, and only they have a right to invade or bar others from coming on their land. So, anyway. All right, I hear the fiend phone. Do we have a fiend who's decided to save the listeners from my pontifications?
I just invaded the Freedom Fiends, but I was sort of invited. I got an email. What's going on, brother?
Hey, well, it was a near drone strike, took out Lisa, so.
Well, so, let me say that I'm not happy about that.
Well, it was a near strike. She's recovering from the EMP, and once her electronics are straightened out, things will be fine. But
okay.
So, yeah, I think she's okay. And anyway, hey, it's always great to have an excuse to bring you in, Lou. So you're like the... I guess you're like a pitch hitter here. So welcome. Welcome, Lou Fiend.
Okay, yeah. Hey, better pitch hitter than a switch hitter. So what's going on, brother?
Well, I was just reading this from this really great essay from Forbes. I don't know if you saw this, but somehow, you know what? I was going to say Forbes has gotten really hardcore. I'm reading an article from 2013, but it was making its rounds on the internet. Amnesty for illegal immigrants is not enough. They deserve an apology. So,
wow.
Pretty cool.
I can't wait to hear about that when we get back from this trip to the market.
We're going to do it.
We're going to do it live.
Just-
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. All right, we're back to Freedom Fiends. I got Lou. I sent Lou this email. So after Lisa's internet went down, I sent an email to Lou. And it's hard to, like, type while you're talking, and I can barely do anything while I'm talking and barely talk. But anyway, so I email Lou and I'm like, hey, urgent, can you come on the Fiends right now? And but it automatically spell checks Fiends to teens. So I'm like, Lou, can you come on the Teens right now? And Lou, just thank you for understanding what I meant and coming on to the show. Really appreciate that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's kind of special. I'm not sure how Nick would feel about that.
Hey, I'm just not going to touch that topic. Although, there's a pretty funny story. I can't tell if this is a hoax story or not. Is this a real story? A schoolboy, it says schoolboy 16 who will live with Russian porn star in hotel for a month after winning bizarre online competition. Okay. Now, if you take the story at face value, if it's true, evidently a 16-year-old boy has won a month in a hotel with a porn star. And although the mother is not thrilled with it, this kid is. Young man. Why. It says he appears delighted about the prize. He actually says he's boiling inside, but his mother and sister have reacted furiously. Right? Really, though, sort of highlights the different gender roles, like in our traditions about how we would look at something like that, doesn't it? Like, probably a lot of people are like, go get him, kid. But if the genders were reversed, probably wouldn't be quite so well accepted, would it?
Probably not. I've never been to one of those clubs where the men dance around with the skimpy stuff on, but my understanding from women that have gone to that, the women are probably worse there than men are at the nudie bars. So,
well, I can tell you from my days as a Chippendale dancer, that's absolutely true. Yeah. So, definitely.
Now, when were you part of the Chipmunks?
The Chippendale? Oh, I still, forget it. No one's going to believe that. I was thinking, could I make this sound possibly believable in any way? And I just saw no way to do it. So I bailed.
I would believe the Chip and Dale, the Chipmunks cartoon. Yeah. You were a dancer for that, but the Chip and Dale's not so much. And I don't say that to be mean. I say that because I've met you.
Fair enough. Anyway, hey, did Ted Cruz eat a booger at that last debate? I know you don't watch the debates, but that at least ended up in the highlights reel.
I don't know if he did it at the debate, but I'm sure he's probably gone through a couple over the years.
I just think it's, I think you and I kind of share a general disdain for the political process, but we find a lot of great material within it. So it's sort of... It's sort of hard to ignore completely because it can be so hilarious, and I might have to start. I can't believe I'm saying this, but I might start watching presidential debates now. They're eating boogers. They're talking about their genital size. you know, pretty much, you know, anything goes now, right? I mean, this might like cross over into the realm of entertaining at some point. Is that possible?
Yes, yes. In much the same manner that train wrecks are entertaining. You know you shouldn't watch, you know you shouldn't look at them, but sometimes you just can't help. You just can't turn away. It's because
right.
It's a train wreck.
Right. It's not that you want to see this horrible disfigurement and tragedy but but that's what politics is. And exactly. There it is.
I'm not surprised when they go to commercial, the audience doesn't start shouting, Jerry, Jerry, Jerry. It's Idiocracy did become a documentary. It became reality TV. I mean,
it's really getting weird.
I'm actually flustered and a loss of words to describe the idiocy that surrounds the presidential selection and all that junk. But I don't because I have absolutely zero expectations out of politicians for being humans and not being sub-moronic knuckle dragging imbeciles. I'm really disappointed in the
Fiend
voters.
Phone.
But you
Fiend
know what?
Phone.
I really don't think much about the voters either.
So. Right. Well, the joke's on them for playing along like it's serious. And unfortunately, yeah. they're the butt of the jokes.
Yeah, if you think politicians are bad, wait till you see the voters. Ginger Snaps, are you here? Are you back?
I'm here, but I don't know how long.
Yay.
I'll be here.
Why? What is this? What is this? What's going on?
It's a conspiracy. my internet provider has an outage.
Yeah, air quotes on provider. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. There's an outage, and so I have another device that I'm using right now, but it keeps kicking me off too. It's a conspiracy. They don't want me on here.
The signal will not be stopped. Lisa will not be blocked.
I will not be. I am resourceful. I will find a way.
Yeah. All right. Cool.
At least I'll try to. I don't know. Yeah. It's like,
hey, we now have a three-quarter
timing.
We now have a three-quarter squirm because, like, yeah, we lost you for a little while, but now we've got Lou. So, anyway.
Oh my goodness. So what did I miss?
All right. Well, I had to pontificate about God knows what. I don't know. For the poor audience all by myself with no Lisa. So anyway. The audience had to live through that. But yeah, I don't know what I was talking about. So, and then Lou came in and saved the day after I sent him an urgent note about the teens. So.
Oh goodness.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Welcome back, Lisa.
It's good to be back. I missed you guys.
You know, we had started to comment on this amnesty for illegal immigrants is not enough. They deserve an apology. It's actually an essay from Forbes from 2013, sort of making the rounds on Facebook. And it just struck me as being pretty hardcore for Forbes, for, you know, what is a mainstream media source, really. A lot of great points in here. And I think you can't make this point often enough because we're so surrounded by confused xenophobes and scared people, and they kind of just forget like what's really at stake. And in this particular essay, you mentioned, you know, freedom of travel is a right. It's a right possessed by every human being, not just by Americans. The Mexican government or French government has no right to stop you from entering Mexico or France. And they still use words like our government, but our government has no right to stop a Mexican or Frenchman from entering America.
Mm-hmm.
The country does not belong to the government. It does not belong to the majority. Land belongs to individual private owners. So, anyway.
Yeah.
You know what, Jim? I'm very sorry, Ginger Snaps. I'm going to interrupt
you. No, go ahead.
And go off on a rant.
Good.
I am very happy that you brought up the words private property, because a lot of times people have a tendency to say that immigrants or foreigners or whatever are trespassing, as if their private property is being violated, and they don't own that property. As an example, if I own private property here, nobody else has a right to say who I can rent out a section of it, who I can sell a section of it to. Nobody has that right because I am the property owner. But I mean, that's if we didn't live in a socialist system. So these people say that immigrants are trespassing on our property because they're under the impression that this whole of the United States is land that is all owned in common by the people, but is managed by the government. And then they say, look, quit being a socialist and quit letting all these people in here. Now, if their argument is they don't want these people on welfare, well, that's fine. I agree with them. But you know what? I don't want domestic-born parasites on welfare either. I don't care who you are. Keep your filthy mitts out of my pockets. I don't want to pay for you. I don't want to educate or indoctrinate your children in the government gulags. I don't want to have to deal with any of that other crap. So
that's the Lou I love. That's the Lou I can count on. That's my favorite Lou right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So when they start making all these claims, and quite frankly, if the government can't keep these people off of welfare, which I'm rather skeptical of all these claims that they are on welfare, particularly that they're on welfare and stealing all the jobs at the same time, simultaneously.
Yeah, Schrodinger's migrant. Yeah.
So I mean, God, I'm so flustered. I can't even remember.
But it's, you know, we get this confusion a lot, right? Like it's trespassing and securing our border. Like, securing our borders. what are we securing it from? And this article points out, says, what are we securing them from? Nannies, engineers, carpenters, and waiters?
you want to know who it's really being secured from? You.
Yeah,
that's right. You, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Sixpack out there. Having been stationed in Germany during the Cold War and remembering East Germany, the Berlin Wall, the Soviet Union, and all that other stuff that everybody claims to hate but they try to emulate here, do you honestly believe that when those walls were put up, when those border checkpoints were put up, do you believe Stalin or Khrushchev or any of these dictators said, these walls are to keep you in? You guys are prisoners. You thought you guys had it bad before? Well, now we're really going to nail down things here. Now we're going to just lock everybody up. You are officially 100% prisoners. No, that's never been said.
No.
The way it was sold was they said, this is going to keep the evil, decadent, bourgeois capitalist West from coming over here and contaminating our workers' paradise, to keep them from jumping in our bread lines and making them any longer. Yeah, that's how it was sold. And just like here in America, the average East German was just more than happy. I mean, liberty died to the sound of applause there, just like it does here. So
yeah.
pull your heads out of your Chris Christie's and start acting like free people. Quit worrying about your amendments and defend your rights.
Mm-hmm. Right on.
See, that's what happens when you break.
That's what happens. Well, conservatives are like ostriches. They constantly have their heads up their asses.
We're helping them, though. We'll be back with more Freedom Fiends.
Bombs.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Here, have some government.
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jim Babb. We got Lisa DeLascio, and we got Lou Fiend.
Yo.
Yeah.
All right, so we were destroying this argument about border security. I think did we kill that one, or are there any arguments left unsquashed?
Well, you know what? I would love to say that the whole border argument has been left, or the whole border argument has been squashed. But for those of you that heard the show with me and Lisa last Wednesday night, cognitive dissonance is going to kick in, and some snapperhead is going to have some brilliant response of, hey, let's make America great again by building a wall.
Yeah. My terrorists.
What does that even mean anyway? Let's make America great again. What
it means whatever you want it to mean. That's the beauty of a slogan like that.
It means that they're dirty, murka-hating communists, and they're saying that murka's not great anymore, and they need to be, I don't know, taken out back and horsewhipped for their lack of patriotism and their treason, their subversion, their sedition, their hating the roads, and everything else, because they hate murka because they're saying murka's not great anymore. They're being, what's the word for it? Oh, yeah, they're being cucks because everything's a cuck now.
Well, it's just kind of sad, but there's so much hatred and going around when they're making these statements of like, oh, we're going to round them up, and like, oh, my God, like the level of just openness about the bigotry has reached a level I didn't really think I would see. I didn't think they could be this open about we're going to create a registry for Muslims, stuff like that. Like, and this is like the leading GOP candidate, and he's getting wild applause and is taken seriously for saying stuff like this. It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, I'm like, you're talking about human beings here.
Well, actually, I would like to present a little counter proposal. So I'm going to go off on another rant here. I'm probably going to finish out the rest of the hour with it. For all of you good Christian patriots out there, the pro carpet bombing patriots and Christians out there, I have a proposal for you, and this will allow you to do everything that you want to do with all those muzzies in the Middle East, as you like to call them. Now, because the Middle East is populated by Jews and Christians, and you don't want to go killing Jews and Christians, so the whole carpet bombing or nuking it back to the Stone Age is probably not a real viable option, because nukes and carpet bombing, well, that's indiscriminate. So you're going to kill Christians, you're going to kill Jews, which you don't want to do, because then you would be just as bad as those muzzies, as you like to call them. So I have an offer for you. It's nowhere near as efficient as carpet bombing or nuking them back to the Stone Age, but it will allow you to do your end result. It will get you to your goal. You can do what you want out of it. It's just going to take a little bit more time, because you don't want to kill all the collateral damage, and not to mention, because you're good environmentalists, you don't want to make the place radioactive, you don't want to destroy all that stuff, you want to be able to go in there and take it over, you know, like pirates, you know, you take over the loot and all the stuff that's already built, you don't want to rebuild it, because that would cost a lot of money. Yeah, granted, they would create a bunch of jobs, but anyway, so here's what you do. Because you only want to get those evil muzzies, you send troops in there, and you start collecting people. You start rounding them up, and you put them in camps. You sort them out. You do your little trials, and then instead of, you know, using the nukes to kill them all, you just, I don't know, do like firing squads, executions, gas chambers, and that way, all you good, loving Christians out there can get your final goal. You can go and you can exterminate an entire religion.
I'm not going to recommend that course of action. No, of course, it might satisfy their bloodlust, but I'm still not a fan of that. How about just leave people alone? Could we just try that?
What? Are you saying it's never been tried or something like that?
Yeah, we tried leaving people alone, and look where it got us.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know.
I might be back for a second hour. I may also be kicked off of radio forever for these things I'm saying. we will find out sooner or later. Oh, and by the way, no, I don't support gas chambers and executions of religious minorities. I'm an atheist.
Just in case somebody needed that clarified. Hey, what? It's radio. People could have tuned in for the first time at any time. So somebody else might be like, where do I sign up for that Middle Eastern trip?
Hey, but it'll get those people to their goal. That's what they want.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Lisa, give us the hour two intro. Bring it in, Lisa.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Low Orbit Ion Cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
So Jeremy BIPCOTted his, licensed his kids, I saw. I don't know if I would BIPCOT license my kids. I don't want anyone to use them.
Yeah, wait a minute. What exactly is he saying there?
They're there for, my kids are there for my amusement, okay? Like, let's get that clear now.
Yeah. My son's 15 and he's quite funny, and he's, sometimes I post funny things he says on the internet, and he's like, hey, you need to start paying me, because that's, you know, that's high quality work there.
Yeah.
Caught him. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you BIPCOT licensed your kid?
I should. While he's still a minor. Well, I still can.
I'm not even sure what it means, right? Like,
I don't think.
Yeah. No. I don't. There's. I'm not going to BIPCOT license people that I like. Bars. Sure.
My website, yes.
Well, you know what? You know who really needed BIPCOT protection was Lynn Albrecht. And so I guess I'm glad that...
Aww. Did she?
Yeah, Lynn Albrecht is... She's now BIPCOT protected, so the government can't mess with her anymore. But that was a little, you know, a little too late, but we... You know,
yeah,
she's still a threat to them, so that's good.
Oh yes.
I don't know. All right, so what do we got? Hour two. We finished it. We finished up all the immigration myths, right? And we ended up with Lou giving sort of an epic sort of rant. Not sure what he was talking about, but I've denounced it. So I think we decided that, you know what? How about just leave people alone?
Did you, because my ISP decided I wasn't allowed to be in on that conversation, did you talk about the Justice Department official who said that 3- and 4-year-olds can learn immigration law and defend themselves in court?
Tell me more.
Okay.
Excuse me, I have to interrupt for just a second.
Mm-hmm.
The word official implies that these people are important and that they have some sort of status. I think what you really mean is some goon or some schlub from the legal department.
A gang member with a history of violence.
Yeah. One of those thugs.
Or just say, you know what, you can be polite and call them a government employee. That might be the nicest designation, which is technically correct.
All right, if we're going to be nice, we'll say a Justice Department...
Thug. I mean, employee.
Thug.
No, I'm sorry.
I like thug.
Yeah, whatever. I think we've made it... I think we know what we're talking about here. So now this mm-hmm. person evidently had some deep insight.
Yeah, said that 3- and 4-year-olds can learn immigration law well enough to represent themselves in court, staking out an unconventional position in a growing debate over whether immigrant children facing deportation are entitled to taxpayer-funded attorneys. So this judge said, and this judge trains other judges, apparently, made the assertion in sworn testimony in a deposition in a federal court. He said that, I've taught immigration law literally to 3- and 4-year-olds. It takes a lot of time and patience, but they get it. It's not the most efficient, but it can be done. It's going to take a lot
of time. He's also really good mm-hmm. at teaching them how to use silverware, which is like...
and chainsaws and like change tires and.
Well, I'm just thinking, like, you know what, like, how to not put the spaghetti on your head. You know, if you can teach a 3-year-old that, I think you're pretty good. Going with immigration law, I'm a little skeptical.
Yeah, adults don't understand it.
Well, how hard does he have to hit these kids before they understand immigration law?
I don't know. It's unbelievable.
You know what would be really funny? No, it'd be really funny is if these children were defending themselves in court and winning.
It could probably happen. I really, at this point, it wouldn't surprise me.
Why am I laughing at this tragedy? The idea of a child being on trial is so absurd and ridiculous. There's no right answer to, well, who should pay for the child's lawyer when he's been kidnapped by government thugs? This is the question they're asking. Like, well, I don't know. Should taxpayers have to pay for that kid's lawyer? Like, instead of saying, like, why the heck do you have a kid who's 3 on trial? Like, just look at yourself, kill yourself, whatever you have to do. It's ridiculous. There's my rant.
I agree. Apparently this professor said, and this is just, I can't believe what I'm reading, okay? But
if your solution for whatever your problem is putting 3-year-olds in front of a judge and like on trial to determine like where you're going to mail them, you are wrong.
And letting them defend themselves. We're going to not put, only you even to court, but
you're down those crayons while you're on trial.
Right.
Maybe we could compromise and say, you know what? Maybe taxpayers shouldn't have to pay for the lawyer. How about just let the kid run away? Okay. Just give him a fair shot, at least. Just like, you know, give him a 15-minute head start and just run. I mean, that would be, to me, more fair.
Yeah. I agree.
I have no patience for these people.
Sanity. No.
No patience at all. Especially, you know, and then you hear about the people that die. Either falling off of these overcrowded boats, like in Europe, or drowning, you know, falling off of rafts, or dying in the desert of dehydration. Like hundreds of people are dying all the time, every year, and you know, as just collateral damage on the war on, I don't know what it moving. Is, just the war
on moving,
the war on yeah. moving, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So. Anyway.
Well, you have to look at it from the point of somebody who put in all the effort to be born here, you know, whose parents came over here years before they were born, and they put in all that effort to their DNA randomly landing here.
Right. They would need to protect that hard investment. I mean, that was a major struggle to accomplish that for them. So,
hey, for many of these people, this is the greatest accomplishment of their lifetime.
Hey, have you ever seen the oath of immigration and naturalization? There's an oath that if you want to play by the rules and you get in line and you get your permission slip, have you ever heard the oath that you're required to take?
No, I'm afraid to hear this.
All right, you guys keep talking while I look it up, because you're going to be shocked when you hear some of this.
Okay. Yeah, so
probably not, but go ahead.
I know. At this point, it's amazing that anything surprises me. But apparently, a professor heard about this and said, "I nearly fell off my chair when I read that deposition. 3- and 4-year-olds do not yet have logical reasoning abilities. It's preposterous, frankly,
to think that they could. And neither does that judge.
No, I can't. It's terrifying, isn't it? It's really scary. I mean, come on.
Okay. Hey, I've got this oath.
Hang on.
Okay.
Here on the Freedom Fiends, we laugh as Western civilization collapses, and it's going to collapse hard. And you know what, Mr. and Mrs. Joe Sixpack out there? You deserve every bit of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, but not everybody does. But check out this oath, okay? This is the naturalization oath of allegiance.
If the boot fits, lick it.
This is even more extreme than a lot of people think. Anyway, it says, "I hereby declare on oath, blah, 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 that I will bear arms on behalf of the United States when required by the law." Okay. So you may be a member of the slave army. "That I will perform non-combatant service in the armed forces of the United States when required by law." So maybe you'll be cooking food for the slave army. Now, that I will perform work of national importance under civilian direction when required by the law. So they can make, you can make iPhones now if it's required by law. Now, here's the kicker. And that I take this obligation freely without any mental reservation. Okay? So you, if you're questioning whether you want to join the slave army, okay, you're not qualified, okay? You have to be not just willing to be a slave, but you can't even be have the slightest reservation about it, okay? That's what they're asking for. So this is why I say, you know what, I'm not against immigration. I'm just against legal immigration, okay? Because we don't need people, you know. We don't need this. We need more people that are, we need more rule breakers, not oath takers.
Yeah, we need the opposite of that. We need those who are willing to
break now. The rules. Granted, for people that sign this on their way in as a, it's just, you know what? It's, hey, as far as I'm concerned, you're just, you're under duress. You can say anything you need to get past the kidnappers. So I'm not faulting anybody that did that to get in here. You know, unless they really meant it. If you lied your way in, hey, more power to you. But please, please, without any mental reservation. Yeah.
No, without no any thanks. Moral, without any moral reservation.
Without any thought process.
Don't worry about immigrants. You don't have to take the oath seriously. You know, you don't have to obey any of those rules. You know, just pretend you're a congressman, and when you swear to support and defend the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, you know, just don't worry about it. You were just, you know, mouthing some words or something like that. I mean, who's going to enforce it?
Yeah.
Yep. This just got scarier, too. I can't believe this either. It says, unlike in felony criminal cases in federal court, children who are charged with violating immigration laws have no right to appointed counsel, even though the government is represented by the Department of Homeland Security attorneys. That's chilling.
Seriously. You're putting a child on trial. You're putting a three-year-old on trial for being on the wrong side of a dotted line. Just die. I'm sorry. Just die. I have you are wasting oxygen. There is no possible way any kind of productive human being could come to that conclusion that a three-year-old should be on trial for where he's standing. And I just can't. I can't deal with
it. It's chilling. I know. I can't believe what I'm reading.
Look, if we don't have this sort of stuff going on, how are we gonna make America great again? Come on. Come on. You dirty commie, America-hating cucks.
My goodness.
Speak for yourself. We'll have some more ranting and raving after a trip to the market.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum. Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Oh, yeah. Hey, and there's a bunch of Republicans and conservatives out there that are screaming about how they're going to move to Canada if Hillary or Bernie are elected. Well, I got some news for you, folks. It's not called moving. It's called immigration. And there's a process. Fill out your paperwork and wait your turn. Schmucks. Oh.
Yeah.
One of my Canadian friends pointed that out the other day, and he's like, just because you guys elect a steam turnip to run your country doesn't mean you get to just come here. He's like, there's paperwork to fill out.
Hey, well, keep in mind that Bernie is also, you know, has the exact same immigration policy as Trump, as far as I know.
Yeah.
Maybe just a little bit less, maybe a little less masonry involved, exactly the same violence involved. So,
right.
It's not like he gets any kind of a pass. And of course, Obama, the liar, the socialist, and his feet stink. He set like record deportation levels. He's kicked out more brown people than any president in my lifetime, as far as I know. So somebody.
Yeah. Well,
now I've heard that he can't really claim credit for kicking out that many brown people. It's not like he's actually sending ICE out to round them up and put them in camps based upon their racial origin.
He's not. So, okay.
So until he does that, he's no FDR. But from the sounds of it, it's people that are it's people that are being caught at the border and then being shipped home. So a lot of the conservatives were saying, well, he's not really accomplishing a whole lot, and they're saying that, you know, he can't claim to be as wicked and deporting as you know any of the others. So he doesn't have street cred as a deporter in chief.
Well, he's making up for it with all the drone strikes that he's using to kill brown children.
You know, I saw a quote. I think it was Thaddeus Russell said something like, yeah, Trump's so racist, he might bomb, detain, or deport as many brown people as Obama.
Ooh. Oh
my gosh.
Snap.
Well,
you know the elections are just popularity contests for serial killers, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is.
Yep.
Well, you know,
have fun, America.
You want your serial killer in there, right?
I don't have a serial killer.
Would you like one? Can I interest you in...
That escalated quickly. Yeah. What's going on here? Maybe I need to have internet trouble again. I don't know.
Well, we go. What do you got to offer?
Hey, what about this story? Do you guys believe this story from Photography is Not a Crime? It's so stunning. Some of the details are from this ABC 7 in New York story. NYPD cop killed in hit and run while pointing gun at woman who struck his car from behind. Okay. Evidently, this cop pulls over, like, he gets rear-ended. He gets out of the car. He starts shouting at her, points his gun, says, "Do you know who I am? I can kill you right now." And that might have been the last words this cop said before he takes a step back, I guess presumably to fire, and then he gets hit by a car. And he was dead. Is this instant karma? What are we talking here? Is this possible? Could this really have happened the way it's described? It just seems too. I'm not going to say ideal.
It sounds like something out of a movie.
Yeah, it just sounds like kind of this kind of instant karma you don't get.
Yeah, it's definitely a rarity, but you got to take it when it does happen. But Confucius say, "Man who chase car get tired."
Well, you know what? And another way to look at this is saying, well, you know what? At least he died doing what he loved. You know,
you mean threatening
an innocent motorist with death?
So, yeah,
threatening to kill somebody. Yay, team! Yeah.
He went out what he was known for.
That's how you make America great again. You threaten people, you threaten to kill them, and then you die.
But you know what? It's funny how they spin this. They released some official statements, and they're like, "He was a really nice guy. He was a genuinely nice guy," they said. And he was trying to help. He was on his way to help a friend when this happened. So we should feel really sorry for him.
Oh, goodness.
Nope.
I don't know.
No feelings.
Fellow officers spoke.
Do you think this is credible? Because it fits my confirmation bias. I'm automatically just kind of want to believe it, but I don't know.
I can't say for a fact that that's the case. It would be nice if there was video evidence to back up these claims. But to share with friends. Yes, I too have the same confirmation bias that you have, so I wouldn't be shocked if it did happen that way.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Freedom Feeds.
We are the good guys.
Who's this we you're talking about?
That's the title of this. That's the title of the song that just brought us back in from break.
Nice.
It's by Right Arm of Wyoming.
Okay. Oh. That's right. Back when Michael used possessive group pronouns.
Yeah. Well, if I'm referring to you, me, and Lisa, I could say we are the Freedom Fiends for tonight.
Absolutely. You could say we are a... Three quarters of a squirm.
Well, when I say we, I'm using it as an abbreviation for me and, you know, whatever other people were actually involved in the event that's going on. So, for example, I would never say we stormed the beaches at Normandy because none of us were alive. None of us have even been to Normandy. So I would not say that.
Would you say that we won the Super Bowl?
No.
Please don't.
Would you say that we are the government?
Well, if we are the government, then the people at Waco weren't really murdered. They committed suicide.
Yeah. Stop bombing yourself. Yeah.
And to top it off, I would never say that we won the Super Bowl because I do hail from Detroit.
So it's never even gonna come up mistakenly.
Yeah, that is something. Those are words that will never be uttered in Michigan,
right?
So, anyway, continue. Carry on.
Okay, Lisa, you had something you wanted to add to that weird case, that immigration case.
Yeah, I'm still really bothered by this. So, you know, it sounded on the surface as if this judge is just presenting an idea. Like, you know, hey, I think that 3- and 4-year-olds could defend themselves in immigration court. Why not? I can teach them immigration law. But it's actually, it's happened. They said it's unclear how often, but kids 5 and younger have actually been forced to defend themselves. And there's one story about
do they get like nunchucks or how do they, what do they get to defend themselves with?
I know. If only.
Did they win?
I don't know. But apparently there was a 5-year-old girl who was brought before an immigration judge, and she was clutching a doll, and she was so little she couldn't see to reach the microphone, and she couldn't answer any questions other than just saying the name of her doll was Baby Doll. That's all she could say.
Did they charge her with contempt of court for not answering the questions?
Oh, my gosh. I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know.
Seriously, people are doing that with a straight face and think that this is somehow appropriate. Like, what is wrong? How did they the same species as us? I don't get it.
I don't think they are. I don't think they can't be. I can't believe that human beings are this bad, this evil.
They can't be human beings. They have to be some sort of reptilian.
Uh-huh. Oh, and they say that, you know, the Justice Department says that nothing in the Constitution requires taxpayers to provide counsel to minors in immigration court. Doing right. so would like potentially that is, enormous taxpayer expense. How about just letting people live where they want to live to begin with?
Yeah, but well, I mean, imagine that's like their argument. They're like, look, hey, you know, if you let us, you know, if you don't let us do all this tyranny, it's going to cost more to taxpayers. Okay, yeah. Do the more tyranny thing. Go ahead and hurt the children as long as my tax bill is going to be. What?
Right. There are people who will be just fine with that. We can't afford. I don't care if they drown when they're trying to get here from Syria or whatever. Good grief.
Well, most people, when they invoke the Constitution, are folks that have never even read it. And that would also include government goons. So the question is, what exactly are the constitutional limits? What exactly does the Constitution authorize as far as ICE and rounding people up and setting up this big giant bureaucratic process? Oh, and while you're at it, what's the Constitution say about the standing army that exists right now?
Oh yeah, since it's so important what's in this document, evidently, it doesn't say that when we kidnap children that we have to give them a lawyer. So therefore, we're just following the Constitution here. Hey. Right? Don't blame us, you know.
As if they follow it for anything else.
Right. Where in the Constitution does it say you should snatch up 5-year-old girls and like keep them away from their family and parents and you know, it's wrong.
And why does it take experts to tell this judge? You know, there's like child psychology experts who have to tell him that, you know, kids don't actually lack the mental capacity to be able to do this. And this is, you know, pretty traumatic for them. We need experts to tell someone this. That's not common sense.
See, this could be one of those times where sometimes the non-aggression principle is a real problem. Okay,
like right?
it really is like it's really it kind of prevents you from like doing the right thing. It almost really feels that way. So that's why the slightly less aggression principle may be what you want to go with here. The slap principle, slightly less aggression principle.
Actually, James, I'm going to disagree with you vehemently, and I'm going to correct you.
Okay.
The zero aggression principle is a prohibition against initiating aggression, which means that you cannot start a fight with somebody else.
Okay. Now,
let me just ask you this. If you were to use aggression, meaning violence or really bad name calling or maybe really firm finger wagging at these government goons, you're not doing that just because you're not doing the Forrest Gump of, you know, for no reason whatsoever, you're going to wave your finger at these guys. No, you're doing it for a particular reason. And that's because right. they have initiated aggression against somebody else already. Is that
right.
correct?
Yeah.
So therefore, you are not violating the zero aggression principle.
Well, it could be considered self-defense, knowing that they're going to continue to harm other people, and that
you're enforcing
that by intervening, you're basically performing an act of self-defense. But and of
or
course
defense,
that would be justifiable,
defense of others that are not capable of defending themselves because they are small children.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, what would you know? We've talked before about you know what would Nuremberg trials look like, or as we call them the Lancaster trials. I mean, if there was going to be justice, you know, what would it look like for people like that judge? Like, what would be? How do you handle those guys? We got nothing. Like it's like
right.
At some point we need to start thinking about like. Well, you know, certainly some kind of reparations for his victims are going to be required, but who's going to determine his guilt and innocence? You know, we definitely need some kind of solution to deal with these people and the drug warriors and these immigration officials and just the people that have caused such harm and misery. You know, I don't know.
The drug warriors are simple. After their fair trial, they're hung with hemp ropes. And unfortunately for them, hemp is a very efficient growing weed, and the ropes can be produced rather quickly.
Yeah, I don't really think executing them is really the answer, and I don't really think that's consistent with the non-aggression principle. But you know, there's certainly an argument for vengeance, but that's not really what I'm looking for. I'm just saying, like, yeah, I'd rather see them work their whole lives to pay money to their victims. I don't know.
That's always a possibility.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah. We'll just keep working on that someday.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I really, it just. it's just hard to imagine like how far removed from humanity these people can get. And when they're wearing their costumes, they're these judges in the robes, the power, it must just rot their brain. Or there's the kind of people that never had like the faculties to say like, should I have a 3-year-old on trial? What? Like there's something just so wrong there. I can't even figure it out.
It's really baffling, and it's something that I've been interested in lately, you know, just because of all these stories. And I want to know what makes people, I mean, are these people inherently bad, or does something happen to make them snap and just become so horrible? I mean, today I read a story about something that happened pretty close to me, about 45 minutes from me. Two firefighters saved an 18-month-old girl who was having a seizure. The father called them, they came to the scene in a fire truck and couldn't get an ambulance there fast enough. So these two firefighters decided, hey, this girl might not make it. We're going to take her to the hospital, to the ER in the fire truck. Even though that's right. Not normally what they do. They have been suspended for that because they broke the rules, even though they saved the girl's life and the parents
Whose rules are these?
I guess whoever
supervises. The fire company?
Yeah, I guess. They were volunteers.
Could this be a suspended. Yeah, but volunteers were suspended. How dare you attempt to save people's lives for no pay? You're no longer allowed. Like what? Like you're just gonna have to sit there and watch people die next time. That'll teach you.
Yeah.
So they were suspended because they violated the protocol of how to affect it, or how to properly save somebody's life.
Yes. Okay. No common sense whatsoever.
This here. Is not entirely different from, I don't know if you guys will remember this, but this was a story that Davi was covering quite a bit. I think he wrote some articles on it. There was a person at a nursing home, something like that, and one of the residents had had like a heart attack or had fallen out, something like that. And the resident, the patient was dying on the ground. Wasn't dead yet, but was close to it. So anyway, somebody called 911. It was one of the people that worked there. And the policy prohibited them from administering any type of life-saving first aid because of liability purposes. And the 911
we can't save them because they might die.
Yeah, the 911 operator was begging and pleading with the useless pre-programmed drone that was on the phone, saying, look, if you don't do something, this person's going to die. And the person that was on the phone, the employee, the health technician, the whatever it was, said, I can't do anything. The policy says I'm not allowed to provide first aid. And
rules are rules. I don't make the rules. I just let people die.
Yeah. And the 911 operator, the government employee of all things, is begging the person on the phone to pass the phone to a resident, to somebody who doesn't work there, to try to administer first aid, to try and save this person who's dying. But because rules are rules and protocols and procedures and policies and bureaucracies, this useless oxygen thief lets this person die.
Heartbreaking.
That's appalling.
That's why I teach my kids rule breaking. Like, come on, guys. Let's look for rules we can break.
And thank you for your service, James, because teaching children to break rules is how you make America great again.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Segment Redemption in the Third Act. All right, Lisa, you know, you were mentioning the Milgram experiment, which is something we talk about fairly often, but why did you think about that?
Well, I was just thinking about the story about the firefighters who tried to do the right thing and they broke rules, you know, to save this little girl's life. And then the story, you know, that Lou was just telling us. And, you know, about how people were willing to, they're not willing to break rules just because of authority. You know, this and obviously it's because we've all been raised, well, not all of us, but raised and indoctrinated to believe that we always listen to authority no matter what.
Rules
and
are
we
rules.
Always follow yeah. rules. Right. Rules I have a
rule.
Friend.
Law's the law. Law's right. the law.
Yeah, one of my friends recently told me that she works with a bunch of scientists. You know, she's like, these are people with PhDs. She said, but if anything goes wrong, they panic and ask her what they're supposed to do. And I guess there was a fire, and one of them, you know, saw the fire and called her to ask if he could sound the alarm. And she's like, you've got to be kidding me. She said, it's so ingrained in people that they have to ask some authority figure, you know, rather than just taking action and doing the thing that's right to do.
That is really a problem. It seems like anytime there's a crisis, people are trained to look for the nearest authority figure to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it's kind of sad.
Unfortunately, they wind up listening to somebody from government.
Right.
Right. And well, listen, as long as people have that mentality, there'll be ample volunteers willing to step in and say, I am your authority figure, and here's what I'm telling you to do. So there's no shortage of people willing to take on that role, but why so why the Milgram experiment though?
Well, I recently watched a movie about that the experiments, and then I did a bunch of research and reading on them, and Milgram found that people were quite willing to listen to authority no matter what the consequences, and they were willing to inflict pain on other people just because somebody in a you know in an authority position allegedly
right told like them a to do so. Right like a the person in a lab coat says you know we're gonna have to shock this person you hear in a distant room and they would hear them mm-hmm. scream but it's part of the experiment and it gets progressively more and more painful and the screams get louder and louder is that right. kind of the idea.
That's the one, and there were times that people would, the person in the other room would stop screaming, and the person doing the shocking would think, are they dead? But they would keep doing the shocking anyway.
Right, well, because the authority figure said so.
Right, but didn't you say there's a variation that kind of gave you some hope?
Yeah, and this is, I think, why it's, maybe we should, you know, we can have this in our final segment, because the one of the variations I've heard about is where they study, well, what happens if first they see somebody else refuse the orders to shock? Like, what happens then? And a different thought process immediately kicks in when they say, then and then after the first person refuses, it's everyone else is willing to refuse after they see that. But it just takes the one person to be noticed saying no. And that power of no is so powerful that it can just resonate and people will be like, oh, yeah, of course, that's stupid. And at least they engage in thought for a moment.
Right. It's like it just that one person kind of makes it lets them know it's OK.
Yeah. Oh, so, okay, you know what we can be. Out. So we can be the one that says no. Right. Like mm-hmm. we can, when people ask for consent, you know, to do something stupid, just say no. And people all around you be like, yeah, that makes total sense. Yeah, no. So, no. Yeah, that's great.
Yeah, just say no.
But like that fire, you know, the fireman did the right thing. He said no to the rules and he saved the girl's life, right?
Right, yeah. And he was a volunteer. And apparently one of them was a captain. And, you know, if they there's a lot of outcry about this story, a lot of support for them.
Fiend phone.
Who's
in on the Fiend phone?
This is the Fiend phone. Unnecessary random re-education interruption right. exigency system. It's Michael Dean. I'm ready to do a show. You guys ready?
We're ready. Always ready.
We're ready.
Do you have your shock collars on? The Fiend phone shock collars?
No, I don't.
Lisa, shock him. Jeremy, shock her.
Jeremy's not here.
Jeremy, yeah, he was electrocuted.
Cool.
We already, he's
cool. Oh, no.
Lou, no. Shock her. Are you refusing
no.
the order, Lou? Are
don't
you refusing the order?
I'll shock her in a week.
Oh, but, good.
But good. But not electrically.
Oh. Ooh.
Don't worry, at least it's a good handcuffs with me.
Oh, too much information.
Yeah. Hey, James, did you go partying with a Bipcot flag last night?
I always go partying with a Bipcot flag. But I go, you know,
those pictures.
My parties
awesome.
Are reusable by anybody except government.
Those pictures were awesome.
They are great.
From the anti-state draft house. Yeah.
I know.
I'm going to get mine from my balcony when he gets here.